The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2017 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2017. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
The next talk is titled Communication. My name is Matt Whitling, and I'm going to speak to you about that. And I don't know if if my computer is sending a message to the projector right now, or if we're going to work on that. But that'll be coming, and then we have some handouts that are on their way. But let's open in prayer, and then we'll begin. Father in heaven, we thank you for a new day. Thank you that you've given us time to consider the calling that you've given to us as leaders. Pray that you grant us wisdom and humility and good ideas. And it's our desire that we would be pleasing to you in the way that we organize and communicate to all the people that you've called us to communicate to. We pray that you grant us grace toward this end. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so again, we're going to talk about communication and got the tech guy giving me just 1 second sign. Do you want me to wait? Okay, just keep going. There are a few different things I'm going to be working with. Number one is once the PowerPoint is up, there's that. There's also the outline in your booklet, and then there are handouts that are coming. Oh, they're coming to your tables right now, which is super. Thank you, Gwen. Just to kind of follow our line, question number one is why? Why do you need to communicate? The primary reason is you've been called to do it, right? Your job before the living God is to fulfill your requirements of your position. If you're here in one capacity or another, you're leading. One of the most important parts of your job is making sure that everybody knows what's going on, when it's going on, why it's going on. So, and you can take a look at some. Okay. You can think through things that have happened in your school, you know, where you've communicated poorly, and examples that come to my mind. You know, it can be something simple like your PE teacher goes up to the gym ready to teach their PE lesson and finds that the gym is set up for an assembly, right? And you might think, well, it's not that big of a deal, but the lines of communication were not clear, or maybe the organization was not clear. Another example might be parents on a Saturday drive, 2 hours north to go and attend a volleyball game. They go to the school, the location where the game was advertised to take place. Nobody's there, right? Another example where you think, communication-wise, where did it break down? What took place that shouldn't have, or what should have taken place that didn't take place? Most extreme example, I think, that I have participated in was a cross-country practice. You've got a Saturday cross-country practice. All the kids come, meet at the coach's house. They go out for a long run on a beautiful Saturday morning. Kids are trickling in around 10:30, 11 o'clock, and by 11:30, 12 o'clock, everybody's back in except for one student. And a few hours later, you still are missing one of your runners, right? And as an administrator, you realize that you have a huge problem on your hands. And so we spent an afternoon missing a young lady who took a wrong turn. She's out on a run. She went left instead of going right, and it added about 3 hours to her run. And she didn't end up coming home to the right spot. She went to her own house. We had families out searching for her body somewhere on the side of the road, right? We had no idea where she was. And so so all you have to do is, if you've been an administrator, you have a list of these things. Right? And if you don't remember them, you should start to write them down and just think through, I'm not going to do that again. We're not going to do this again. And there are all sorts of face plants that you and I can make in this area of communication. And that's these are simple examples of why it's so important. Okay, who do you need to communicate with? You need to communicate with everyone, all the time, about everything. That's your responsibility, right? So you fill in the blank. You're responsible to make sure that everybody knows everything all the time. That's your job. There are times, I think, when we as administrators spend time trying to prepare people to deal with poor leadership. And here's what I mean. You know, a little phrase is like semper gumby. If you find yourself trying to prepare your staff members to be flexible, you know, got to be flexible. Make sure you're ready for plans to change or be gracious. I think oftentimes we go that route because we're not organized and we don't communicate well. When really the solution to the problem is know what's taking place and make sure that everybody knows all the details of it. Do a good job instead of going around and kind of coaching everybody's sanctification in having to deal with the fact that you've dropped the ball again. Okay, what? What are we going to communicate? How are we doing? Do you guys see anything on your screens? You do? Okay, that's what I can see it down here. Dr. Larry Stevenson taught me this little saying, over-communication leads to success, under-communication leads to a mess, right? And so we will we'll talk through some different examples of that. The biggest thing to me is you need to know what's going on. You need to be organized before you can communicate anything helpful, right? I mean, you need to know what the message is. And sometimes it's very simple. It's time and place. But if you don't know that, then you can't communicate well to the people that are looking to you for that. And so what I do in order to plan out the school year is I start with the annual calendar. And that's what you have up front. There's a handout as well that should have that. So you've got your annual calendar. What I do is in January, I'll sit down and make up the annual calendar for the following year. Because I want to know. I know I'm going to field 3 or 4 questions between Christmas and May about something on next year's calendar. Somebody wants to know when spring break is, or they want to know Christmas break, whatever it happens to be. If you have that figured out by January or at the latest February of this year for the following year, post it on your website, and then parents will go there so that you don't have to receive those 3 or 4 emails and answer those questions. And whatever you do, the way that you communicate with your families, realize that you are training people to receive. So if it's random and haphazard, they're learning that lesson. They're learning that you'll tell them when it comes to your mind, or sometimes it'll be last minute, and it may be with your teachers or with your parents or with your students, but you are training them how to receive information. And I would encourage you to have a plan, have a way to figure out how am I going to communicate this so that if there are other questions that come up, parents could answer that. Other parents will train the new parents in how to receive. So I start with my annual calendar. You can see that it on the left-hand side, I want all of my elementary events. So the major events that are taking place this year in the elementary are on the left. On the right-hand side, I've got my secondary events. And then the simple calendar is down the middle. And on one page, I want to be able to see everything that's significant. And I want my parents to be able to do that as well. And again, that's posted to the web page. I think right now we still have last year's calendar and this year's calendar. And then over the summer, we'll take last year's down, keep this year's up, and then next Christmas, try to get the calendar up for the following year. But this is simply an annual calendar. This is when we start. The second handout that you have, and I just gave you one page of it, is what I call the principal's calendar. And what I realized a number of years ago, I was the elementary principal for, I don't know how long, 5 or 6 years, and I found that I could wing it fairly well with the events that were on my plate. So I looked at my annual calendar, and if every week or so I just checked the annual calendar, I'd be able to anticipate well enough the events that were going to be taking place where I usually didn't drop the ball. When I became the secondary principal, so I was elementary and secondary, every day that first year, I was terrified that I had missed something significant, and it was only a matter of time until the whole thing fell apart, and it was all my fault. Right, so I'd get to school and I'd think, I know I missed something today. There's so many variables taking place throughout the school year that I just had this feeling that I had whiffed it, and it was beyond repair at this point, and I had no way to figure out what that issue was. So what I wanted was a simple list of all of my responsibilities for the year, month by month, day by day. And then if I thought, I wonder if I'm missing something, I have somewhere to go and check where it is. And so you can see the way that it's organized. This is next year's principal's calendar. So we have, you know, starting with August 1st, every day that there's something significant, I have it written down, and it helps me to keep track of what needs to take place when. And this is updated every year in July. And if I've got extra time, maybe this is a good aside. You guys know, if you've done the administrative job for very long at all, there are times, there are feast and famine times. So there are times when you can prepare and work ahead, and then there are times when there are 0 seconds today for you to use. I mean, just no extra time at all. You just have to breathe and go to the next thing. And so what I do is I've got this principal's calendar. If I have a little bit of extra time this week or this day, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to go start working my way down the list, and I'm going to get ahead. So in other words, could I finish? You know, I'm supposed to come up with a new principal's calendar for the following year. I'm supposed to do that July 1st. Well, you're looking at it right now. And the reason that it's done right now is because I had extra time. I want to get it done. I want to get that finished, and then I don't have to worry about it later on. And so I would encourage you to have a list of things to do so that when the Lord gives you, you know, you may have 2 hours on an afternoon where you think, no office visits yet, no scheduled appointments yet. Get ahead, right? I mean, you've got to work your way ahead, because the Lord will bring a season where you have 0 seconds that particular day, and if you are ahead, then you'll be able to navigate it. Right now, you can see I've got colors that are highlighted. So the blue colors are elementary assemblies. So my elementary teachers know today when all of the assemblies are for this coming school year. Right, it's already done. That's already planned out. They know which one they're responsible for. We're not going to make that stuff up as we go through the school year. It is already finished. For the secondary, those are the purple highlighted events. Those are not all done yet. I've got my dates and my times, and I'm looking to fill those with speakers. And I want to have that complete, Lord willing, by the 1st of July, so that's organized and ready to go. As I go through the year, I just simply highlight where we are based on the date and then do a strike through. And so I can see what has been accomplished and where we are on the particular list that we're dealing with. It's basically 2 pages. There's one for the fall, so that gets you through Christmas, and there's 1 page for the spring, and that's going to get you from Christmas break through the end of the summer, essentially. I just gave you, I think, the first one because we were trying to keep the packets smaller. If it would be helpful for you to have an electronic copy of this, just shoot me an email, and I can send you an attachment. And it has everything on there. The second page has June, July, and August, right? So things that I'm working through over the course of the summer. Okay. The next thing in the packet that I have is simply a copy of the monthly calendar from our school website. And I believe that you should use your school website for 2 different things. One is for prospective families. The other is to supply information to your current families. And one of the things that we have on the website is a Google Calendar. And the reason we use Google Calendar instead of RenWeb, we do use RenWeb as our database. I think that their calendar is inferior to Google. Excuse me. To Google. Google is free. I just think it's more flexible and it's better. And so we use that. You can see on the calendar itself, we have 22 different calendars that are represented in our Google suite, if you will. There are some that we show to parents. There are some that we only show to teachers. There are some that only administrators can see. But you can set them to determine who can view them, who can edit them, who can share them. And so we'll have one, you know, if I look through this example, we've got a calendar for JV boys basketball practice. So JV, BBB, that shows every practice that they have in the season. I want those practices entered into the Google Calendar before the season starts. So that as a parent, if you have a young man who's playing boys basketball, you can look onto the Christmas schedule, see exactly when the practices are going to take place. And so if you have questions about your Christmas schedule, they are answered here. We have things like CTB4 testing. You know, there are all sorts of things. We have a gym calendar where you schedule time in the gym, right? And so administrators can use that to book the gym so that it is not double booked. And again, if you have been responsible for spaces like a gymnasium or an auditorium, there are times when people will think they each have dibs on a certain time block in an afternoon. You need to have one place that you can go to that answers the question, right? It's all scheduled on the Google Calendar. All sports schedules need to be there. All right. Next thing we have is school culture and vision. So I don't have there's not a slide for this. We'll talk about policies and guidelines. Your school culture and vision should be recorded in your student parent handbook. I believe that should be online so parents can access that. A few notes about that. Number one is every prospective parent should have to say that they've read it and they agree to the handbook. And then you need to realize that as soon as they click those buttons on their application, that means absolutely nothing as to how much of it they remember, right? They don't remember any part of any policy that you put in there. And there are times when I've, you know, over the summer I've thought, I got this great idea for school culture, you know, and so I'll put it in the parent-student handbook, and then I'll save it, and I'll look at it, and I'll think, our school is so much better now. And it makes no difference at all. Right? I mean, zero change in your school just because you wrote a sentence in the parent-student handbook. The teachers will read it. They don't know what it means, and they won't remember it. The parents will read it, and it doesn't make any difference to them practically at all. And so as an administrator, part of your job is simply to remind, right? It should all be written down as far as vision and philosophy. Your job is to remind people, graciously remind them of the policies, of the guidelines that you have, put them in front of the people that need to be seeing them. Okay, and then staff manual. Very similar with your staff manual. Our staff manual is not online. It's just for our teachers. But again, your job is to remind your teachers of those policies. I think your parent-student handbook should be relatively thin, relatively short. So I mean 20 to 30 pages. If you have 40 or 50, I would encourage you to go through and ask yourself, can we make it shorter? Can we make it more reasonable and streamline it? Your staff handbook is going to be maybe a little bit longer than that. With that, what I do is I put together a quick reference guide for my teachers. So I think our staff manual is 30 some odd pages, almost 40 pages. There are some things in there that I want my teachers to read, and then I know they're going to forget it, and that's fine. So, for example, what's the technical definition of a full-time teacher for secondary? Well, they're going to read it, and it may not matter to them at all. But I want pertinent things in front of them, and so I put together a quick reference guide, which is 2 pages back-to-back. So I basically have 4 pages, and I laminate it, and I hand that out at orientation, and that's what we work through. So what might be on there? Discipline policy. You know, things that teachers need to see, we're going to talk about, and they may need to look at it again or have it right by their desk so that they can check that again. Guidelines for supervising recess. Things that still are easy to forget but need to be in front of those people. So we have a quick reference guide that we put together for them. And again, that's laminated, and we talk that through. Okay, how and when. So we've talked about what we're communicating and who we're communicating to. How and when. The first audience that we will target is our teachers. And we have staff meetings. I have two staff meetings a week. So I meet with elementary teachers Monday mornings at 7:45, secondary teachers Tuesday mornings at 7:45. And it just runs, you can see at the top of this handout, 7:45 to 8:05. So we're talking about a 20-minute window that I have with each group of teachers, which means I need to budget my minutes wisely. It's going to go quickly. And I have one agenda for each week. So I have elementary events on the left-hand side. I've got secondary on the right-hand side. And our simple liturgy that we go through, there's a different student that we're praying for each week in each class in the elementary. And then same sort of thing in the secondary. You can see that reflected at the top. So I'll talk through who those students are. We'll take prayer requests from teachers. And then we'll pray for those students. And we just work our way preschool through 6th grade in the elementary or 7th through 12th in the secondary. And those particular teachers pray for their student once a week. And then I close us in prayer. Then I have something that we're working on. So this particular week, it was the same in the secondary as in the elementary. This year, we memorized the school vision statement. And it was challenging for us. You know, it was hard for us to do. But so I have in bold is what we have memorized so far. And then you can see what's left over. And then the little instructions on the top right on the secondary side, it just says, please complete the attached sheet for part two of the vision statement. So I'm testing them on it this particular week. The goal is to be able to write it from scratch without any help. Please turn this in by Monday afternoon. And then we're reviewing parts one and two, and there are dates for when those things are due. So this is the time to set the vision for your staff. You know, we had a great discussion in here in the hour previous about hospitality. For me, if I was going to do staff training on how to receive parents and how to love parents and how to welcome them into your school and little details about that, that's going to be in my word for the teachers. And I may spend, it may be a 1 week discussion, or it may be 3 weeks. And it may be part one, part two, part three. I know every week I've got a little bit of time. How much time do I get to talk to them during this meeting? We've got 20 minutes. I'm usually talking to them for about 10, maybe half of it. The rest of the time, we sing. Okay, the first thing we do is sing, and then we pray. I'm talking to the teachers after that. And then current school issues, things that I want to make sure are on the radar screen for our teachers. So little things that I'm reminding them of for the elementary and then the secondary. And then at the bottom of this page, you can see we're doing observations at this time during the year. So a little write-up of, you know, how many observations per year different teachers get, and then I put them in the box. So if you're in the box, I just ask that you give me a first and second choice of time for an observation next week, and they can see where we are in our observations. Just helps me keep track of observing the teachers that we have. So this is an example of the staff meeting agenda. I want one for the elementary and secondary because I'm one person and I want to keep it simple. I think it's also helpful for the elementary teachers to be able to look over across that dividing line and see what's going on in the secondary. And same thing for the secondary, to just have a little bit of unity that way so that teachers know what's taking place. So this is one side of one page. On the back of this agenda is always the principal's calendar, right? Because the principal's calendar is not only for me to calm my panic attacks that I have, but it's also for my teachers. And so they, on the back, so when we're done with this, we're almost done with the meeting, I'll say, okay, let's turn over our agenda and let's see what's going on this week. And so we look at the principal's calendar. You can see everything that's been stricken through up to today and see, okay, that here's what's going on this next week or the following week, and my teachers know, okay, two more weeks until the spelling bee or the speech meet or whatever it happens to be. We've got a play coming up this Friday. It's all done. It's all listed. So I create one principal's calendar, and that goes to all of my teachers every week. So if there's an update or a change, I just make it. It's going to be a fresh copy that next Monday or Tuesday. Everybody sees it. And then my teachers can use that to plan their whole semester, right? Because they're not just seeing August or they're not just seeing September. They're seeing the whole first semester. I give them both pages at the beginning of the year, and then I'll start showing them the spring as we get close to Christmas so that they can see what's going on after Christmas break. Okay, so that's communicating with teachers. Second way that we communicate with teachers and with secondary students is simply our secondary announcements every day. And so the little handout or the thing that's on your screen where it says May 26th, I just grabbed a day from this past year. And the way that we work it is this is a Google document, and I think you ought to use Google Docs or something similar because you will have documents that you want and you need more than one person to contribute to. So you can see here, we've got student announcements, we've got a birthday in the secondary this particular day, and then announcements for our students. Our second period teacher reads the announcements to the students every day. Under activities, there's nothing on this particular day, but my athletic director would put in, you know, if there's a game today or if there's some kind of change, anything that goes under activities would go there. Below that midline are teacher announcements. Those are not read in second period every day. So things that I want to communicate to the teachers, it's going to be in the bulletin. And we actually print a hard copy of this, put it in all the teachers' boxes. So elementary and secondary teachers receive this. They see what was read to the secondary students in second period, and then any notes that are for the teachers down below, they can see what's going on. I can contribute to this. My secretaries can contribute to it, the athletic director, the superintendent. So we have a number of people pull up the same piece of paper, essentially, can contribute. And then every day at 8:45, I pull it up, I read through everything, and basically I'm approving it. It's ready to go out. And then my secretary knows that after 8:45, she can print it, distribute it, and then it's emailed home to all of our secondary families. Just the top, right? Not the teacher portion. But so parents, not only they see what their student had read to them in second period, they get an email every day from us. And if they don't want to see it, they can ask to not be on that list. But parents like to see this sort of thing. So they are seeing what their children have read to them every day. Then we post a copy of this outside the office door. So if you just happen to be walking by, you can see what the announcements were for today. And this has been helpful. And again, it's just a Google document that you can set up, and we print it, and then we send it home. Okay, communicating with parents. We talked about the school website, and I just want to have an encouragement to you. If you have a calendar that goes day by day, like a Google calendar for whatever your event is, it could be mock trial practice, it must be accurate, right? I mean, if you're communicating to parents, you're saying, this is when practice is going to be, this is where the game is going to take place, it's got to be right. Otherwise, because you're training your parents, right? We have parents that Sunday night will sit down, they pull up the Google calendar, and they'll make a plan. You know, they may have 7 kids or 8 kids at Logos School. They're going to make a plan for what their week is going to look like, and they're going to line everything out based on those Google calendars that we give to them. If they're not accurate, then you're training your parents that that's not reliable information. And then they might need to send you an email to confirm, or they may need to call and ask. You want to have it up to date. If there's a change, you've got to make that change on the internet so that they can see that it's taken place. So we do have that. I would encourage you to share, you know, if you do have Google calendars, share them with your families. So on your iPhone, you could have all of those JV boys basketball practices. You just pull it up and you can see it. So you can imagine the mom, she's got a, you know, girls volleyball, she's got a mock trial student, she's got multiple things. Those could all be on her phone so that she can see what's going on during the week. Daily announcements is another way that we communicate with parents, and we talked about that. And then the next thing that we do is every Tuesday, I send home an update. And so I just call it it's an update for the week. And on the first week of school, it's going to be number one. I have summer updates, so it'd be summer update number one through however many I send home. But every week, parents are going to get an email from me, and teachers receive it as well. And you can see the categories that are there. There's general, there's things that apply to everybody in the school. And so I want to have that at the top. There are elementary events only, and then there are secondary events. So as a parent, if you just have elementary kids, sure, you may want to look at the secondary, but you're just general and elementary. And you can kind of streamline what you're looking at. And then I like to have a note for parents or a study tip of the week. You can see there's an example here that, is planning ahead, using your HAS in the elementary or the weekly test schedule in the secondary to plan out and kind of use that weekend to get ready for the particular week that we're getting into. But just some way to encourage and coach parents. And this is a little way to help frame kind of what we do at Logos School and help them to do their job as parents. And again, every Tuesday, so on my Google Calendar, it just says update. I know I need to send an update out on Tuesday. If I get it done early or there's something time sensitive and I want to send it out on a Monday, I can. If it's been a crazy day and it goes out on a Wednesday, it's not the end of the world. But every week, parents know I'm going to send an update home to them. I take this text and save it on the website after it's been sent out so that you could go, as a parent, you could go and click on updates and they can see all the updates for the year. And, so we have we've got a Logos Facebook page that the Logos moms started, and I look at it every now and then, but I never post anything unless it's a big deal, if I need to weigh in on something. But usually I'll just watch, and there'll be moms that will go on Facebook and say, hey, do you remember if it's fight night day this Friday? You know, they'll ask that question. And if you've trained your families well, you're going to have moms respond and say, that was in the update that came out on Tuesday, and then they'll copy the website where it is, right? And they'll know. They're just kind of bringing everybody up to speed. It's in the update. They know the weekly update comes home every week, and that should be in there. But I think it's good to monitor that because you can see if you've dropped the ball. You know, the questions, every question they ask should have already been answered. You know, any question that you see on that Facebook page, you should think, I'm ahead of it. It's already been sent out. She just didn't look at the email or whatever it happened to be. Didn't come to her email address, but I covered it. If you see something that you didn't address, then that should be corrective for you. You should think, okay, next time I'm going to get ahead of it. I need to make sure because your parents need to have all of the information before they have the question. It's the way that it should be. You know, if a question comes up, you should have prepared them for it. You should have already had that figured out, you know, weeks before. Well, how are you going to know? Well, you've got your annual calendar, you've got your principal's calendar, and it just dictates to you time-sensitive things. Make sure you communicate at the right time about the right events. So again, updates, save to the website. My hope is that parents skim this and archive it, or skim it and delete it. I don't want them to have to keep it in their inbox any longer than is necessary. And if they need to double check it, they can just go to the website, it's already there, and go back and look at it. It's saved for them. Okay, so that's our weekly update. Quick comment about email for you guys, administrators. I believe that you ought to turn emails around within 11 hours. I think your due date ought to be, you know, if you get an email today at 1 o'clock, I think you ought to get back to them before 1 o'clock tomorrow. And for almost everything, right? Now, I know what it's like to ice an email. Okay, I get that. So there's, you know, there's a request that's not appropriate, or there's, you know, there's something where you want them to sit on it for a while, and get, every now and then you can break the rule if it's on purpose, not because you're behind or disorganized, but because you want them to sit on it and think about that a little bit longer before you respond. And I also know what it's like to get an email that's a whopper. You know, somebody sends you one, and there's like 7 points that need to be responded to. It's a big one, and things are crazy. I think you ought to respond and say, great questions. Let me work on this. I'll get back to you, right? Did I still make my 11-hour turnaround? Yes. You know, still, they know that I've got it and that I'm on it. But there are lots of short emails that I know my temptation sometimes is to read it and then think, yeah, I'll need to get to that. Don't wait to get to that. Just kill it now, right? That's the way I think of it. So I get an email. I'm killing emails all day long. I want to go home. I want to have 3 or fewer in that inbox. I'd like it to be empty, completely empty when I go home. Everything's current. I'm in good shape. Sometimes when I get home, and I'll pull it up on my phone and just see archive, 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 archive. You know, because it's like a video game for me. I want to kill those things and get down to single digits, and then get down to 3, and then get down to 0. And saving them, I could not imagine saving them for a few days. Right? I mean, just imagine if you didn't answer emails for a few days, they're going to pile up, and you're going to be gunnels under before you know. Other exceptions, if you are out of the office for a week, just have one of those little automatic replies so that people know you're out of the office for this particular week. They know that it came, and it's going to be a little bit of time before you get back to it. Otherwise, I think you ought to be on the 11-hour turnaround. Okay, and then final thought on this whole job of communication. If you do your job well, nobody's going to notice. Right? I mean, if everybody knows what's taking place well in advance, everything's accurate in your communications, people are just going to, they're just going to live. They're going to do life. And you're not going to be on their radar screen. If you do your job poorly, your face is going to be in their mind right now. And that's just part of the administrative job, right? The better you are at it, the more invisible you become. They're in the school. They love that teacher. Life is great. That event was wonderful. But it's not all about whittling. If you drop the ball, then all of a sudden it becomes about you. And so you want it to be seamless. You want to be behind the scenes in a lot of ways. The other thing to think through, you know, is that the acquisition of wisdom is described as a feast in Proverbs chapter 9. Part of your job is to make sure that everybody gets to the feast at the right time, seated in the right place, wearing the right clothes. I mean, just all those details. You've got a feast that's taking place at your school. Your job is get everything into position so that it can take place. And then be behind the scenes and watch what happens. Okay. Again, anything that would be helpful for you, if you want a digital copy, just shoot me an email, and I will get it to you. But thank you very much for coming in, and have a great rest of the morning.